This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3562 for Tuesday, the 29th of March, 2022. Today's show is entitled, Creating a New Project with Haskell and Stack. It is part of the series Haskell. It is hosted by Tuku Turoto and is about 21 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is Turoto explains how to create a new Haskell project and build it.
Hello, this is Tuula Turto and you're listening to the Hacker Public Radio. Today's episode is about how to set up a new Haskell project. And as an example, we are going to write a tiny card game. This episode won't contain all the code for the card game because it would take... The episode would be just so long, but we'll get started today and continue later on. So, today we'll set up our project. So, we are going to use Stack. And Stack is a cross-platform program for developing Haskell projects. There's a link in the show notes leading to the Stack's homepage. So what does Stack do? It can, among other things, it can install GHC, that's the Glasgow Haskell compiler, automatically and in an isolated location. So if you are developing multiple projects that uses different versions of the GHC, Stack will help you to manage that situation. It will also install the packages that your project need, again, in an isolated location, and it will build your project, test your project, and benchmark your project. This benchmarking part is actually something that I haven't done yet, but all the other previously mentioned, yes. So, our game will be called a Treasure Dungeon. It will be a turn-based card game, and it will run in a console, so don't expect any fancy graphics. We want to write it in a console as a text mode to keep things as simple as possible, because if you are writing your first Haskell game, it is really good idea not to start with something huge, but something small, manageable, that you can finish in a couple of weeks or in a month or two. So, our game is called Treasure Dungeon. I will go through rules a little bit later, but the idea is that you have a deck of cards, you flip them one by one, and there's a special event that your character has to deal with. And your character will have some items and stats that will help them to overcome the obstacles. But first we need a project, and after installing the stack, I'm not going to through that because that is a platform dependent and that might change. So if you're installing Stack, please refer to the Stack's homepage for the instructions for that. But now that we have installed it, we are going to open a new terminal window, change into some suitable directory and use Stack to create our project. So we write Stack new Treasure Dungeon Rio. And this will create a new directory, Treasure Dungeon, and initialized content of that using a Rio template. Rio is a standard library that I have recently started using. There's a links in the show notes to the homepage of the Rio and nice tutorial that I read through if you want to learn a little bit more. We will cover only the very basics while writing the game. But the Rio is a replacement for the Prelude, which is the standard library that comes with the Haskell, and it's partly a standard library, partly it's a framework for writing your games. Programs, and it will give you a structure of a program where you can do things like logging and passing configuration easily. But anyway, now that we have created our project, we want to edit, because of course it's a default settings that the template uses. So change to the Treasure Dungeon directory that the stack created and have a look at the package.yaml. That's this contains a metadata for our project. And it is pretty sensible, but we want to change a couple things in the beginning of the file. There's a section called it that should point to your public repository if you have one. License is a machine readable info about the license terms. Auto is where your name goes. And maintainer is the person who is currently maintaining the project, that is you again. And then the copyright information goes into the copyright. And then there's the executable section a little bit down. And there our game is called Pressure-Dungeon-Exe. So I removed the -exe, so I want our executable to be called just a Pressure-Dungeon. And I have a repository at the online. There's a link in the show notes if you want to have a look how the package.yum looks in my project. And now that we have finished the package.yum, we are going to have a look at the stack.yum. This is another file. And this tells, among other things, what resolver to use. There's a section called resolver, and we are going to change it to some suitable resolver. I used LTS-18.27. So this specifies which set of libraries to use. There's a webpage, Stackage, there's again link in the show notes, that hosts a curated set of packages. So, because there's a lot of different kinds of packages in the Haskell, and some of those depend on each other, managing the dependencies by hand might be a bit tricky if you want to. For example, package A might depend on the package B, and package C may depend on the package B, and if you want to use the A and C packages, both depending on the B, you have to find a version of the A and C that depend on the version package B in a way that all the dependencies are satisfied. So A doesn't depend on too new or too old version of the package compared to the package B. And Stackage can do that. For you, so they have curated set of packages that they are testing and building, and when you choose a resolver, you are choosing a certain set of packages. For each package, there might be multiple versions available within each resolver. So you're not going to pick just one, but you basically have a range of packages that are on your disposal. But we don't really have to worry about this much. We just pick our LTS resolver. LTS stands for the long-term support, meaning that this package, curated package set will be available for quite a while. So this is a good choice for us. Okay, and final step is to edit readme.md to suit your needs. Basically, write a little blurb about what kind of program you are writing, and if there's any interesting information, or how to build it, and how to compile it, and how to run it, things like that. And earlier, when we were editing the package.yum, it links to the README using our, I think it comes via Git. I don't remember, actually quite sure. Maybe I can quickly check. But I remember that the package.yum has a section for the README somewhere. Yeah, it has the tag called description. And it just links to the, in my case, it just says, please see the README at Codeberg at, and then the link. And it gives direct link to the README file in the repository. So the README.md that we edit will be, if you upload to the Codeberg, it will be the one that the package.yum is pointing to. This way we don't have to write description twice. This is pretty nifty thing to do. Okay, now we have a Now we have created our project, we have edited some of the metadata, and now we are ready to get started with that. So, first step is to build it. This is done on the terminal writing stack build, two words. And this will build the example code that the template inserted into our into our project. There's a one library called, in this case, called Treasure Dungeon, and then there's a one executable, but that is by default called Treasure Dungeon exe. But I edited it to read the Treasure Dungeon. So the library and the exe can actually be named with the identical names. So stack build will build our project, and it will take a little bit of time, depending, this project is small, so it shouldn't take a long. When it has finished, and if everything went correctly, we can start our executable with stack exec dash dash treasure dungeon, or treasure dungeon.exe if we wouldn't have edited the name. And this should print a little message on screen and exit. So this just makes sure that our project works. We can also turn on the verbose logging by starting the project with stack exec dash dash treasure dungeon dash dash verbose to greater than log.txt. This won't print anything on the screen, but it will create log.txt file that will have the same information as before with some timestamps. So that to greater than at the end of our command tells our computer to redirect the STD error, standard error stream into the log.txt file. Rio is set up in a way that you can use log commands to log, and then it has some commands for writing into the files. But it doesn't actually have a command on writing directly on screen by default. So for our game, we have to import functions for that from the prelude, but we will look into that later. So everything that is outputted on the screen in our example now is actually login done by the program. If you want, you can have a look at the files and see how it is done. Anyway, another useful command is stack test, which will compile and run tests for the project. The template comes with couple silly tests that don't do much. They're just an example. And I don't think we will look that much into the testing in this time or later time. There's an episode I did earlier about testing in Haskell that is very, very, very applicable in this situation too. So you could have a look at that if you are interested in the testing. But stack test runs the tests. And then if you want to clean up your project of the intermediate files, you can just use stack clean. After this, you have to build the program again with stack build. Sometimes you might want to, especially when you are trying to remove all the warnings from your code, because stack does incremental builds. So, I mean, GHC does incremental builds too, of course. But when you build the project for the first time, it will compile all the files. And after that, it will only compile the files that you have changed and the ones that are directly or indirectly depending on those changed files. So it won't compile everything. And if you are trying to clean up some errors from, not errors, but warnings from your project, if a warning is in a file that you have already compiled, but you haven't edited, you are not going to see that one again, that warning, until you clean the project and rebuild everything, and then you see all the warnings that the compiler is emitting to you. I like to keep the code as free from the errors as possible. Basically, my goal is to always keep it at the zero warnings. Obviously, zero errors too, but zero warnings, because as soon as you start having warnings in your code, usually it's a compiler telling you that it thinks that you are doing something funny and you should have a look at it and fix things so that you don't get a runtime exceptions, for example. Like, you might have a code that nobody is using, nobody is calling, so the compiler will emit that there's a function defined here, nobody is calling this, and that is a warning to you, thinking that is this a dead code, should I just remove it completely? Because if there's a code that nobody calls, there's really no point of keeping it in the project and maintaining, unless you have a definite plans for using that later. Another thing is if you are using doing pattern matching, you're basically taking some data and writing the program that if the data is in this pattern, then do this thing, and in this pattern, do this thing. Sometimes you miss a pattern, so the pattern match isn't complete. There's some form of data that your program isn't handling. So compiler will emit a warning about that, because if while running the program it encounters that type of data, it will crash, and that is of course bad. So we want to keep our code as free from warnings as possible, especially if we have more than one people working on the code, then it's important so that nobody has to remember that these three warnings are okay. We don't have to worry about this. It's much easier when you don't have to remember such a things. Just keep code free of warnings. Anyway, that's about what we are going to use about stack. So there's a stack new for creating a new project, then there's a stack build for building it, stack exit for executing our binaries. If we have binaries, we might be writing a library, and then of course we don't have binaries. Then there could be or executable. Then there's a stack test for running tests, and stack clean for cleaning the intermediate files. Final thing before finishing, we are going to have a look at the project structure. There's three directories in our project: app, src, and test. App contains the code for our executable. This is where we will be placing a big portion of the code. This is basically where the code that deals with the outside world is going to go. So this is about printing on the screen and asking user input. It's going to tell the user what is the situation, and it's asking what do you want to do next, and then it is handling user responses. SRC contains code for our library. This is where we will be placing code that codifies the rules of the game, and we are going to keep this part of the program free from the interactions with the outside world. So these are, if you're familiar with the terms pure and impure code, this is the pure part, and it doesn't mean that the another part is filthy or nasty. It just means that impure just means that it's something that has side effects. Usually it is dealing with the outside world. So SRC contains code that doesn't deal with the outside world. This is just pure, you could think that it's a pure mathematics. It's just a data comes in, function does something, and returns a response. That's it. Nothing else. Data in, data out. No printing on the screen or reading the data on the hard drive or calling the fax machine or anything. And the third directory is test. This is where the tests live. Like I said, we are not going to do much with this. Okay, in closing, we started our card game project. It doesn't do much yet. It prints some funny message on the screen and that's it. But we already have an executable that we can build and run. So now we have stuff and only thing left is to modify that program to look more like a game. And next time we will look into how to roll a new character, because of course we are going to have some dice rolling so that we have a randomly generated character with a couple stats, and then maybe even getting them equipped, like maybe giving them some gear before they venture into the treasure dungeon. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach me by via email or at the Fediverse, where I'm tuturto@tech.lgtp, or even better, you could write and record your own episode. Ad Astra.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, you can click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.